like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Consumer Metrics call on the 31st of July. And on the call, we have Cheryl Langdonor, Carlos Aguirre, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Jonathan Zack, and Steve Del Bianco. For staff, we have Barry Cobb, Julie Headland, and myself, Glenda Saint-Cherry. And it is over to you, Jonathan. May I just remind people to say their name before speaking, please, for transcription purposes. And may I also say that we have apologies from John Berard. We are not able to get through to Tobias Mahler, so I don't know if anybody has apologies from him. Okay, it's now over to you. Thanks, Jonathan.
Okay, hi. It's Jonathan Zook, for the record. Welcome, everyone. I guess we didn't have enough of a quorum last time. I don't know what just happened to Cheryl. I guess a noise forced her to disconnect. We wait for her to get back on.
This is Barry. I think we can still move forward. She'll join or get another call out shortly.
Yes, she'll get it. She's getting a call out.
Okay. On the first open action item, I did reach out to Wendy to talk to her a little bit about the objections she raised. And at its very core, she seems to object to the trust category of metrics for the DNS anyway. I think she doesn't think that it's possible to assign, you know, consumer trust to the DNS. And so I told her that was part of the mandate all the way back to the affirmation of commitment, so even before Bruce's resolution. I guess, you know, she didn't see a way forward on that. She did raise one issue that is interesting, I guess, which is that she's concerned that that by assigning metrics to the process, and these were all these ones related to a lot of them related to IP, that we might be creating de facto responsibility for the registries, that even though it's not our mandate to assign responsibility for the success or failure of these metrics, she's concerned that the creation of the metrics will lead to assignment of responsibility on the registry. So I don't know if that's something that we should maybe make a note about or not, or just let go because it isn't our mandate. But that seems to be a part of the core of her concern, is that that we'd be de facto rewriting the registry agreement by suggesting that these metrics are something that registries should be responsible for. Beyond that, I tried to get a time that she could be on one of the remaining scheduled calls, and she said she simply isn't, but she would be open to trying to get on an ad hoc call if you guys were up for trying to schedule one that was at a different time. So I leave that open to the group about whether or not we want to try to schedule an ad hoc call with Wendy so that she can better represent her issues. I think as it now stands, she's probably going to recommend that the NCUC file, you know, comments that are in defense of these when they're published. Any reactions?
This is Steve. Thanks for giving it a good try. And we can't say we haven't reached out. But if Wendy and the NCSG has a fundamental problem with the affirmation and the resolution that we're actually responding to, then her problem isn't really with our work.
I think that's right.
One strategy might be to see if the NCSG could express, they might abstain and express that they believe the resolution should never have been adopted by the board, But that is different than a substantive concern about what we're recommending that be measured. So it's possible, and we don't have to do this today, right? It would happen during the council meeting when they debate this. We may have to have a strategy to try to ask them to separate how they feel about the affirmation and the board and strictly try to turn to the merits of our recommendations. We might have a better chance of getting them to either abstain or approve. Thanks.
That makes sense to me, and that's definitely the impression I came away with, is that she is concerned about making the DNS responsible somehow for consumer trust, which is one of the things we were assigned to do, and that was reflective of the affirmation commitment. So I suspect that the problem here is an endemic one, not one that will resolve with a call with Wendy.
Jonathan, Steve, if I could?
Yeah.
Maybe our letter ought to include a line in it that just heads this off and says that the recommendation for any given metric or target does not convey new legal accountability or responsibility on ICANN or contract parties. We're trying to stay true to the resolution and the affirmation by recommending things that can be measured that will in total contribute to the required assessment of whether the new GTLD program promoted consumer trust, consumer choice, and competition.
That's exactly what I was suggesting. I mean, a line like that, I think, would be is something we all agree with and would be a concession to her concern. Barry, is that something that you can...
This is Barry. I think we already have language in that advice letter. Basically, I'm paraphrasing here, but that we're only offering up metrics. This is in no way meant to be utilized for future policy changes or anything from that. So I think we've got that covered. If not, we can improve that language when we modify the final draft. But I think really what's more important here, and certainly the NCSG will deliberate this when the council brings it up for discussion, but it would benefit them to actually draft up a minority response that we can append to the draft letter, because if and when this does get carried up to the ICANN board, the deliberation at the council level will most likely not transition up that way. So if they prefer their point to be heard across the community, it would benefit them to do a minority response attached to this draft advice letter.
Okay. Well, I'll pass that on to Wendy then. And let's just make a note to set aside that when we're doing the final version of the advice letter, that we take a look at the line that you're referring to, Barry, and potentially clean it up to similar to the sentence that Steve just outlined.
Got that captured.
All right, thank you. So we should probably continue on through these comments then.
This is Barry. We have a few more action items before we get started. The second one, which is recurring, just to review the latest or to send out the latest comment review tool and draft letter, which I did earlier in the week. I did not send the latest version of the draft letter because it had not changed from our previous meeting. Action item number three, I would like to take a few minutes to discuss. I have started this. I don't have a definitive answer from ICANN internal about a review team with respect to the GTLD application process. However, I started tuning into the language of 9.3 of the AOC, and my takeaway from it is that the application and evaluation process would be included within our remit. Specifically, the middle sentence out of the AOC 9.3, if and when new GTLDs have been in operation for 1 year, ICANN will organize a review that will examine the extent to which the introduction or expansion of GTLDs has promoted competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice, as well as effectiveness of the application and evaluation process, and B, the safeguards put in place to mitigate issues involved in that introduction. So my takeaway from that is that this future review team that's going to analyze the consumer metrics should also be including the app and evaluation process, and I'm kind of doubtful that there's a separate team. So comments on that, Steve?
Yeah, Barry, you're right. It's in the affirmation, but it's expressly not in the resolution that the board adopted. So we're clear that our group only was supposed to look at the second half of that, which was the metrics, right? What would be the work that this group on the phone today, what would we do to address the fact that there is no resolution from the board and there is no working group on the first half of that evaluation? What are you suggesting we do?
This is Barry. I'm not necessarily suggesting anything yet other than confusion. I just pasted a link for the AOC tracking site for ICANN, and I'm calling out specifically rows 55 and 56. The interesting thing about the board resolution is that it shaved off the as well within the resolution, and I'm not sure what the intent there was. But when I look at the AOC tracking, there's on row 55, and I do invite all members to click the link and scroll down, there's already a considerable amount of work that has been attributed to row 55 of promoting competition, consumer trust, and choice. And you can see some of the actions taken by ICANN, for example, the STI, vertical integration, the morality and public order, different things, whereas on row 56, which is a continuation of 9.3, actually gets into the what I believe is the placeholder for what the consumer metrics team is trying to accomplish for the future review team. But it's kind of confusing, and like I said, I'm still trying to ask internally and find out about some clarity about this, but right now, my gut is telling me that there isn't necessarily a separate team that's going to be designated. And if that's the case,
they should move all of our stuff from row 55 to 56. And it was an error created by whoever developed the AOC tracking table.
Okay. Well, again, I'll still continue to hunt this down internally, and I'm not sure what the exact answer will be. If, in fact, it is intended to be one unified AOC team, then perhaps our scope expands, which I'm not sure we're all in favor of, per se, especially given our timeline that we have. If not, if there is definitely a different team, then we're good to go. So I'll try to get this wrapped up by our next call.
But, Barry, this is Steve. I mean, the little thing they have in the fourth column that says GNSO, ALAC, and possibly are in the process of, that's just in the wrong place. And by moving that to row 56, we don't pretend to be addressing something that our working group was never chartered to do. So the blank line, the blank will be on row 55, whereas 56 will show work is underway to get it done.
Right. And you will also see on row 56 that the text that they pulled out of the AOC is trimmed off, as well as effectiveness of, and doesn't complete the text. So I think
it's because they wanted that to be associated with row 57. So they probably ought to move the as well as into row 57 And, of course, the columns next to that would be blank as well.
This is Michael. That's the way I was reading that. Either 57 was supposed to be within 56, but that is two different focuses, it looks like, and ours is within 56 up until that last line.
Okay. Again, I'll go retrieve clarity on this and have an answer by the next meeting. And lastly,
Barry, this is Steve. We're not actually just asking them for clarification. I think we have a point of view on this. So we would be requesting that they fix the table in the way that suits our charter and the resolution. And the reason I say that is that I want to try to limit the perception that we've missed part of our charter, because we haven't. And I wanted to limit the possibility that our scope would somehow be expanded at the last minute, which I hope it doesn't.
Understood. So lastly, the final action item, which was a result of our last meeting and discussion about how we passed the advice letter on to the GNSO Council, John Berard had suggested that we give the Council a flight plan, for lack of a better term, to move the advice letter forward onto the ICANN board. And other than to say that I sent out the first draft, I'd like to defer the review of that towards the end of the meeting so that we can jump into the comments. Okay, so with that, and Jonathan, if you don't mind, I'll take over in terms of the public comment review now.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Barry, are you seeking edits for the GNSO Council letter? The one you circulated today, the one that starts with, why are consumer metrics important?
Oh, absolutely. This is just the first draft for the team to provide input and feedback on to improve it. And, you know, again, I think the concern from the last call is at this point it's unclear how the council and when the council will deliberate the advice letter. Not to mention any possible friction that may be pending forward. So the intent was just to try to provide a timeline that hopefully the council can try to adhere to so that it can be formally deliberated on by the October Toronto meeting. And so we essentially have.
So do you want comments
meetings
today on the call, or Jonathan, would you prefer we just do them by email? What's your preference?
I think probably just by email, so we can jump into these comments.
We'll do it.
Anything else, Steve?
I'm sorry, that's it.
Okay. All right, so from two meetings ago, we had left off on row 59. Now we're on 60. This comment is from Michael Flynn from the Public Comment Forum. And I'll read through this. The proposed measures naively regard an increase in the number of supposed rivals for the business of a second-level domain registrant as the equivalent of an increase in competition. A simplistic count of the number of GTLD rivals for a would-be registrant's business is not an economically meaningful measure of competition, if any. Among the GTLDs the registrant faces, it allows that an increase in the number of such rivals for a registrant's business does not amount to increased competition. The proposed measures assume that would-be registrants of second-level domains regard all unsponsored GTLDs as well as some CCTLDs as actual or potential substitutes. Before undertaking to measure anything, what is needed first is a complete professional delineation of the relevant product markets that are at issue, including a determination of which GTLDs and CCTLDs, if any, are economic substitutes and which are complements as seen by would-be registrants.
This is Steve. Jonathan, can I weigh in on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking. I mean, it just seems like outside of it sounds like a Herculean task to do this level of categorization when this is just one of many metrics.
In choice, choice and competition are so closely related that back when we designed these, we took the attitude that choice was from the perspective of the registrants and users, and competition was more from the supply side. We knowing that choice and competition are related. And when we designed our choice measures, we said that a registrant choosing from among the available GTLDs is really only going to choose those that are appropriate. For instance, they can only choose those that are open to the public, not private, dot brand, single registrant. They can't choose those. And the second is they can only choose really among those that are applicable to their industry. A bike shop is not going to pick something in dot bank, even if they could. So we acknowledged all that, and we debated the use of words in the choice definition, like as the range of relevant options available to registrants on users. We're talking about the definition of consumer choice. We had once entertained the idea of putting it, something in there like relevant options.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Barry, you've got the best handle on what changes we've made since our original advice letter. Did we modify the definition of choice to imply relevance at some point?
This is Barry. The latest choice definition that we have is defined as the range of options available to consumers for the domain scripts and languages and for all TLDs that offer meaningful choices as to the proposed purpose and integrity of their domain name registrants.
Meaningful choices is the key word.
So even if we were to change the definition to include the word relevant, which gets to the notion of not all TLDs are even available as my choices, it doesn't mean we've scratched the itch of Mr. Flynn, because none of our metrics seek to categorize the world from the eyes of every registrant, as Jonathan said. I don't suppose it even scratches any itch to change our definition if we don't want to add lots of metrics, and I don't think we do. I agree with you, Jonathan. We don't want to add a lot of metrics.
I don't think so, not at this point. This is a pretty rigorous document. This is just one of many metrics, and you know, the review team might come up with some scheme for contextualizing these metrics in as available or something like that. I mean, it won't be the end of the world for them to do that. I could
volunteer to draft another note with the definitions, and the note would try to delineate that we recognize that not every TLD is available as a relevant choice for every registrant, and that is a recognized challenge that we did not feel it was justifiable to design metrics to categorize registrant-specific choices.
Cheryl here, Jonathan. We also need to perhaps, in that note, Steve, which I think is a great idea, remind them that, of course, one of our primary tasks is the definitional work, and the metrics are, to some extent, you know, linked to and analogous, but I'd almost consider the definitional work is almost the primary task as well. So whilst we had to get on with that job, what Mr. Flynn wants is Herculean indeed, and would have meant a huge delay well past probably the 12-month point post new GTLDs from this round in the route anyway. So there would have been a huge number of issues if we hadn't gone with the necessarily lean but nevertheless meaningful choices being the key.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I think that I don't think that his comment is wrong. I just think that it's and maybe Stephen, you know, another sentence in the definition will help to clarify that we're not idiots. But at the same time, I mean, I think
we also had a job we had to do, yeah.
Right, that's right.
And it would be a note, Jonathan, not a change to the definition, since if we change the definition to include this relevant idea or meaningful idea to a greater extent, then we get dinged for not designing metrics that could have done that. So I think it's better for us to acknowledge, yep, we thought of that.
Yep.
We're not as dumb as you think, and here's why we didn't expressly didn't design metrics for that.
Could not, would not, should not, and did not, yeah.
That sounds right.
This is Barry. So I've taken down the recommended action is just to create an additional note to supplement the consumer choice definition. And Steve, you said you would take a first stab at that.
Thanks, Barry.
Okay, moving down to 61. This is also from Michael Flynn. The total number of second-level domains registered under that GTLD, the total number of second-level domains that are unique to that GTLD, and the second bullet, the total web traffic measured, say, by the number of unique visitors per time period that is generated by all second-level domains registered under that GTLD. His comment is the proposed measures of competition fail to recognize that ICANN's imminent introduction of new GTLDs likely will increase, not reduce, the market power of some GTLDs.
But is it, are his bullets, are they recommending two new metrics? Because we didn't have that.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
He wrote this. We didn't have these.
I'm just wondering, this is Michael, the extent to which that traffic echoes the one, the traffic measurement that we had placed, I believe it was in the choice section previously.
And I frankly,
my recall that we did add traffic, and you're right, we did talk about user traffic and new GTLs versus legacy, but traffic is not, it's his first bullet is the total lover second domains.
Unique to the, I think that our redirect is more interesting measure than this. I mean, the fact that it's not a unique name doesn't mean that it didn't have value.
Right, but our redirect stuff and dead links was mostly to discover whether lots of these new registrations were not really meaningful exercises of choice because they weren't used as a way of, you know, relabeling in a meaningful way. They were just
buying
things for defensive purposes. That's what a dead link would be.
That
wouldn't be an evidence of choice. I guess what he's getting at is if you took a look at the new versus the legacies, we would get more nuance as to how much competition they're providing by looking at the registrations as well as traffic. And it strikes me that we could move these, we could add these metrics to the competition section, which for us is a bit thin, right?
Yeah.
Because we do have quantity of GTLDs and TLDs. I guess we could put in here new registrations in the new GTLDs that are open to the public versus those in the legacies that are open to the public. It's an interesting comparison.
Cheryl here, Jonathan. I just wanted to come in, you know, in support, surprise, surprise, for what Steve was saying, but also to say the recognition of his final sentence about new GTLDs likely to increase, not reduce, I wouldn't necessarily say market power, but change in a positive way the effect of, even in a transitory sense, existing or legacy GTLDs, is probably reasonable to recognise. Certainly I've been in a number of fora going up to the release of this round of new GTLD program where this everyone benefiting by the effect of other people's marketing and other activities and outreach was put to the table as a positive benefit. So I think that recognition is also fair enough as well. And if we haven't made it bleedingly obvious that we understand that, perhaps we could make it bleedingly obvious that we do. That may not change the metrics, it just means that you have to consider that when you're analysing the metrics. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that it's... I'm not sure that that's clear as a sort of tautological remark, the way that he's put it. I mean, I think we can go ahead and look at some of these other metrics. That I mean, again, because it doesn't hurt to track metrics in a sense, to the extent possible. I mean, the web traffic is one that if we're measuring already to some extent, it might just be another slice, and the number of second level domains that are unique to that TLD. I mean, that's going to take a little bit of work. We can put it out there, you know, to receive more comment on.
Jonathan?
Yeah.
I think you're right. Cheryl, we are not economists, and it's not really within our purview to say things like, quote, this will likely increase market power. Yeah, nowhere else in this document have we gone out on a limb to do that, and neither the affirmation nor the resolution asks us to.
Yeah,
we can make a statement, a speculative statement, like this may increase market power.
But what I was saying, if I may, Steve, just to respond, is I think it is recognised that that may be an effect, but that's the role of the analysis, not of the definition and metrics per se.
Great, great clarification. But having said that, nowhere else in our document do we discuss the potential implications of the metrics. And if we single that one out...
Aren't we responding to each of these people in a report?
Okay, great point. So we could note in our response...
We do that
to
the response, because there's a number of times in responses that we've reacted to people to say why we haven't.
You're exactly right. And sometimes we'll react by noting in our... matrix, but not necessarily changing our advice letter.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't change the advice letter. I would note
awesome.
It.
Fantastic. But I did think it was there's merit to his two bullets.
Hasn't been met yet, so I'm not making myself clear. I'll try better in a little while.
Although, I think I get it. I'm sorry. But I did want to suggest that the two bullets in 61, I would recommend that we add them to our competition metrics, since they are, I believe, relatively easy to do, especially because we've already asked for metrics on web traffic.
Right.
And we believe that a zone walk can answer his first bullet. And those would be great pieces of data to throw into the affirmation team on evaluating the open to public new GTLDs, I guess, versus the non open to public in the legacy space.
Olivier, do you have a comment?
Thank you, Jonathan. It's Olivier for the record. I just wondered whether it was worth actually adding to our advice letter the fact that we're not looking at the consequences of the metrics, but just at the metrics itself. Just as this will be mentioned in the reply to Mr. Flynn, I wondered whether it might be worth putting it in our main text as well, since it doesn't seem to be obvious.
You mean it's not obvious that it isn't part of our remit, you mean?
Yeah. So, Olivier, again, it's not obvious whether it's part of our remit or whether it's not part of our remit. I think that it's not part of our remit, but correct me if I'm wrong. I might be confused as well. I don't know.
I think we all agree that it's not. So you think as part of the advice letter that we should just mention that wasn't part of our remit for the limit?
I just thought just one line, because obviously we have questions and suggestions, which are very valid indeed, but if we don't explicitly say it, I wonder whether it might not lead people to thinking that we're missing something.
Okay.
Can we address Michael's points in the chat, Steve, probably from you. Cheryl,
yeah.
For the record.
I mean, my guess is we won't have targets for these. I haven't been identifying myself.
Yeah, I would, to answer that, I would add, for instance, under our competition metrics, we have a handful on suppliers. We have two of them that are in measures related to prices for domain registrations. Recently, we modified the definition of competition, I believe, to pick up a little bit more about this market rivalry aspect that the USG was pushing for. And we don't really have competition metrics that measure market rivalry in terms of its outcomes of market rivalry. Like, evidence of market rivalry might be that, oh, there's a significant quantity of registrations that are unique to the new DTLDs. They don't appear anywhere else in the legacy or ccTLD space. So jonathanzook.org already appears. So if he got jonathanzook.photo, that wouldn't be unique in the new gtld.photo.
Oh, yes.
So I think the first bullet he's asking for is a relatively simple measure that could be done at the snapshot at the end of the year, or perhaps every month, I don't know when, but a snapshot of registrations in the new GTLD space where that same string does not appear as a registration in any of the zones in the legacy space or the CCs. What's everyone think of adding a metric for that? It wouldn't have a target.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
This is Michael. I'm looking back. I'm cheating. I'm looking at the advice letter. And one of the metrics that we added there under the measures of competition was quantity of total second-level registrations per GTLD and ccTLD on weekly or other interval basis. And I suppose that somehow this – I'll back up from there as well – and as well up front, we have quantity of GTLDs before and after expansion, and then registry operators. So somewhere within those three, it seems that this unique SLDs fits after one of these. I'm not quite sure which one. I think perhaps after the last one, which is the quantity of total second-level registrations per GTLD. And then under that would be number quantity of second-level registrations which are unique to GTLDs.
To the new GTLD, right?
Right.
Yeah. And would you agree we would not try to set a target for that?
Yes, and in fact, the one that we added here of the quantity of total second has no target.
Yeah, just observe.
Right, it's just observe. I don't know if that's something on a weekly basis, though, which was the measure that we had put down for that new one.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of work to do because you have to literally check every second-level string in the zone against every other zone to know if it's unique.
You have to have a snapshot.
Correct. That's what I would shoot for, the year and 3 years.
Do you guys want to propose monthly or annual for that, annual snapshot?
This is Barry. The latest language for that metric is quantity of total second-level registrations per GTLD and ccTLD on a weekly or other interval basis.
The interval's fine.
I know, but those are just raw quantities. They have nothing to do with a unique count that requires a row-by-row scan. So a total count is not the same thing as a unique.
No, but when we use the language for the unique, we can use other interval or appropriate interval.
Okay.
This is Michael. I agree with that and leave it open to them to determine what they want to
read. Great idea.
That makes sense.
It is Barry. So I've got two actions, recommended actions out of this. First is to add the two bulleted metrics to the competition section, and then we'll also add a line somewhere in the advice letter that these metrics do not consider potential consequences of the metrics themselves, but we are only measuring, which I believe we already have one sentence close to that, but can probably just be evolved. Okay, any other comments with respect to 61?
Are we in agreement that the second bullet would also become a metric, or do we think we've already covered that under choice? Can somebody refresh our – didn't we add one to choice about traffic that covers the second bullet?
Yes, it is the last metric. Website traffic is a potential indicator of trust, exercise choice, and effective competition. User traffic in new GTLD should be compared to user traffic in legacy GTLD with sampling.
I think that's great, then. We can check the box and say we've agreed with both of his bullets and we have them covered.
I think that's correct.
Okay. Moving on to comment 62, also by Michael Flynn. In fact, all of the measures of competition, including innovation, that finally are adopted should be applied immediately without waiting for the accumulation of 1 year's experience under the latest GTLDs to ICANN's two earlier GTLD expansions. This would accomplish three things. First, it would provide a snapshot of the GTLD system prior to the launch of the new GTLD, as proposed by INTA. Second, it would allow the testing and refinement, if indicated, of the proposed measures of competition and innovation using actual, currently available data on the past decade's new GTLDs that ICANN also claimed would increase competition and innovation. And third, it would provide immediate evidence bearing on the likelihood that ICANN's claims in support of its most recent GTLD expansion would be vindicated.
This is Steve. Yeah. Our advice letter already said, quote, the working group recommends that ICANN staff begin to collect appropriate measures and publish baseline data as soon as the board has acted on advice from ACs and SOs. I would just simply repeat that sentence and say we've already done that. He missed that. You know, not to be rude to him, but I mean that is what we recommended in our letter. Not just for competition, but for all metrics. It's page 2 of our original letter, near the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
This is Barry, and I'm not looking at the language, but that's of existing metrics where possible. I mean, there's some metrics that probably aren't going to be able to be baselined until other systems are in place.
Right. Right. We said appropriate.
Yeah.
Appropriate. Right. Thank you.
Yeah. The working group recommends that ICANN staff begin to collect appropriate measures and publish baseline data as soon as the board has acted on advice from the ACs and SOs. And I think that your timeline in the council letter says the same thing. Staff begins recording metrics is even in the timeline. So I think let's move on. We got this one.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yep.
Hey, moving on to 63. This is in reference to our metrics that used to be on page 11, which is the quantity of total TLDs before and after expansion, assuming that GTLDs and CCTLDs generally compete for the same registrants. This is from INTA. In addition to the number of TLDs before and after expansion, there should be an accounting of the number of second-level domains in each new GTLD and of those second-level registrations, how they are used, ergo, redirected to registrations in legacy TLDs, inactive or dead, or parked pages, anything that resolves to a page that says parked or that is simply advertising links.
And this is Michael. In reviewing this, I think the two basic points have been addressed before we got to this point. The number of second-level domains in each new GTLD has been included in that new quantity of total, and also the parked inactive, I think, was reviewed back in choice, whether or not we need to point to that as with from the competition standpoint as well, I leave that to be answered. I think the issue of how they are used beyond what we've already identified, which is trying to look and make sure that they are not merely defensive, is beyond the scope of what we can do at this point. So I think both of these points are already covered, unless someone reads more into this than I can see.
I mean, I think this is Jonathan for the record. I agree, Michael, that I think they're covered in that we've done what we can along these lines. I don't think that we can, apply the, Google PageRank algorithm to them to figure out whether or not they're full of links or something. I mean, that seems beyond the scope of something that we can study. But other issues in terms of where they actually go, whether they represent redirects, I think that that stuff we've already built in.
I agree. Cheryl here. Just let's just say that in our response in the matrix.
Yeah, Michael, and I think that would be good, and it also would clarify that those have been addressed, simply that they were addressed before we got to the question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. So moving on to 64, this is with respect from this is from Enta on an existing metric, which was metric number 3 on our old page 11, quantity of unique GTLD registry operators before and after expansion. 2 times seems low. We believe this metric would only measure the expansion of the DN space, not the extent to which actual competition increased. We suggest the following target: ratio of unique GTLD registry operators, for example, operators who own only one GTLD, to a total number of GTLDs before expansion and after expansion, should at least double at 1 year and 3 years from expansion.
This is Michael. Now, I'm cheating again and going and looking at the 3-year target in the advice letter for this, and it has a number. Unique operators, okay. Increase of 2 times over 2011, and then it has 16, footnote 3. I'm not certain what that is referring to.
16 is the quantity that were in place in 2011, and 3 is the footnote number. So an increase of 2x over the 2011 when 16 is in parens would imply that the target was to double the 16, 2x 13, 16, which is 32, assuming that that's still the right number. That we might have done a few tweaks to those baseline numbers based on some comments that came in, right, Barry?
Correct. That number is now 14.
So 2x14 is 28, Michael.
Which I believe from at least the number of current applications will blow that number out of the water.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look and develop the argument why. And I did not work on the competition portion of this other than generally, but here again, it's looking not at this straight number that we have here, which is unique GTLD registry operators, but of a ratio of unique GTLD registry operators to the total number of GTLDs.
That wasn't what, I'm sorry, just to clarify, what the competition thing did is we looked at supply side, Michael. We tend to say that the registrant and users were measured on the choice stuff. But when it comes to competition, we looked at supplier competition.
Yeah.
So it's not relative, except that we explained our rationale for our target is that we thought that if you doubled the number of suppliers in a given market, I think most people, and not too many of us on this call are economists, and I'm certainly not, but most people would say that if you doubled the number of suppliers in a market, it sounds like you made things more, you promoted competition.
Okay.
That's where we came up with that, and we probably suspected it was going to be easy. The only way we would have missed it when we wrote this would have been that very few people came forth to propose new. It was all VeriSign and Afilias proposing the TLDs. It might have been hard to get to 2X. But in fact, Barry's right. We're going to blow this one out, but I still think 2X shows that you've promoted competition.
Would that be a one-year or a three-year or an introduction target? That would be my question.
We were asked only for three-year targets, and so that is what we responded with.
So would this then be, and I'm testing what the metric is looking at, if this increases competition and we're looking at people coming into the marketplace, should this not be a comparison 3 years out to what it was before, but 3 years out compared to the initial run of new GTLDs? That is to say, if this is a world of competition, is that number going to increase after the initial splurge of numbers?
Well, Michael, here's Steve. Here's a quick answer. We're measuring the expansion of the GTLD program. So if you took a snapshot 3 years after it started and there were 30 new operators still standing, 30 operators still alive, and 100 of them had gone away, you would still compare 30 to the ICANN world in 2011 when there were 14. And I realize that the creative destruction of the market could cause a lot of these guys to disappear. But the affirmation review simply looks at, did the GTLD expansion promote competition? And if we double the number of suppliers that are still standing 3 years out, you can unequivocally say we've promoted competition. It might have been better if more of them survived, but that's neither here nor there.
Yep.
Agreed.
This is Michael, and I guess I'll ask this, and perhaps it's already built in here. I understand that, and it makes sense to me. It creates competition, but if that competition only exists at the 3 year, I mean, it's going to be easy to reach that unless every, you know, there's a huge number of legacies which can't exist. But if that number actually decreases dramatically between 1 year after introduction, which is basically when the first GTLDs are going to go live, to 3 years out, if that decreases, then doesn't that reflect something on whether or not we actually, the extent of competition, I guess? If we're just answering, did we encourage competition through this process? Yes. Yeah, I suppose that's enough of an answer if that's all we're going to get at. What I was saying was maybe this needs to be compared at a couple different places, and if not, that's fine.
As with any metric, we hope they'll do interim assessments of it. This one turns out to be, Michael, one of the easiest things to assess. You could do it annually. You could do it monthly. Any of us can do it. But in terms of a three-year target, we've doubled. I still think that's the appropriate thing to measure. Do you want to put something in our advice letter recommending that this metric be assessed at regular intervals?
I'm thinking about that, Steve, but I guess my question to that is whether or not that is appropriate to the metrics that we're going to put forward. My definition of competition, like, and I'm not an economist, But as I look at economy and such, it's too early to say it's a success or a failure until you are able to measure over time and compared to other portions. I think, yes.
No, you're right about that. There could be a declining. This is only one metric of many for competition, first of all. So there's no success or failure with respect to missing one metric of a dozen. We never meant to imply that. That the whole system, the whole expansion has failed because you missed X metrics. That wouldn't even be our position.
Right.
And what we've said, though, is if 3 years out, if you've doubled the number of suppliers as you had before the expansion, Michael, I got to believe you can unequivocally say that that means they promoted competition according to that metric. That metric, at least, is evidence of a promoted competition. It may be suboptimal in that dozens and dozens of new entrants died in the 3 years in between. The competition is not as good as it could have been. But we're simply saying what would be a metric 3 years out, a target 3 years out, that would be evidence of promoting competition.
Right. Now,
I think we're left with now is whether you want to argue for a higher number than 2X. But I don't think we can ask. I think we could straight face can say that you should have measured what it could have been, should have been, and would have been if more had survived.
Right. Let me think. I don't think I would want to add a line if that's going to go beyond, other than an acknowledgement, and I don't know if it's appropriate in the advice, so I'll leave that to you all. If it's appropriate to make a reference to the fact that although this is intended to measure competition in a snapshot, it does not look at long-term trends, either economically or competition for space in the DNS. We're just answering the simple question, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, did introducing the new GTLDs increase competition? That's answered at one place at one time, and if someone wants to do a further analysis over time, that's beyond the scope of this particular metric. I'm trying to get out of writing a sentence.
Big goal.
Okay, so this is Barry. I'm definitely going to have to go through the MP3 to capture all the comments made here, but in terms of recommended action, I'm seeing none at this point, and that our current metric satisfies what was trying to be accomplished.
Right. That would be my feeling.
Yep.
I think so.
Okay, moving right along to 65 is a shade of a different color, except it's for registry service providers instead of operators.
Same rationale, Michael. We said 2X, the number in the previous set, and we said that the previous set was 6. The old world had 6 registry operators in the G space, and that doubling that would take you to 12, double the number of suppliers.
Could I get a quick definition distinguishing registry service providers from registry operators?
Four takes you down that way a little bit. It defines it more by example than by definition, but it says, because registry service provider is a defined term in the new GTLD program. It's the vendor who's running the zone files, as distinct from the operator who's the person who signed the contract with ICANN.
Okay, so that would be, for example, the back-end service providers.
That's right. And for politically correct reasons, I think we stopped calling it back-end a while ago. But VeriSign, Affilius, Neustar, CORE, PIR, and Mid-Counties Cooperative Domains were the 6 unique GTLD registry service providers in place in 2011. Now, Barry, did we also get a comment that we should have counted some others, or is that 6 number still hold?
If I recall, I believe the 6 number still holds. Yes, the only change was just removing of text in the title, but no comments with respect to the number or quantity of service providers. I guess take the example to real world is even with the latest delegation, XXX, which is also the Olympic Games, but Afilias is the back-end provider. I'm sorry, the registry service provider for them.
This is Michael. I will note that reading through the GTLD applications, I think they overwhelmingly refer to themselves in the old terms.
Well, that's not our problem. It's theirs.
So 65, I can go with that without there being any necessary change in that. That definite clarification.
Great. All right, moving on to comment 66. This is from INTA as well, and regarding our current metric of relative share of new GTLD registrations held by new entrants. For purposes of this measure, new entrants are GTLDs run by registry operators that did not operate a legacy GTLD. The comment is, we believe this metric might not adequately measure the expansion of the DN space, nor the extent to which actual competition has increased. It also appears to be quite a low target. We suggest the following target: number of GTLDs owned by new entrants should represent more than 85% of total new GTLD registrations.
Cheryl here, Jonathan.
Yes.
I think this is one of those respond in the matrix issues, and my view is we should point out that, yes, we are encouraged to set three-year targets, but we're not attempting to make a set of aspirational models, nor set what would be a success or failure for a new GTLD round. That's the role of the review team. What we're doing is setting definitions and metrics associated with those definitions that may be meaningful for the use in that analysis. I mean, why argue 85%? Why not 63 or 27, you know, I mean...
Well, that argument might take place, but I don't know that, given the fact
it's
that...
It's not our job to do it, yeah.
Right, the review team can override anything that we...
Exactly, yeah.
Well, this is Michael, and the reason for that, unless I'm reading the wrong line, is that new entrants should have at least 20% of total new GTLD registrations is what we were reacting to. So there was an aspirational 20% at least, which we felt was woefully low.
That who thought was woefully low?
INTA.
INTA.
Looking at that as, and it appeared to us to be there as an aspirational figure, in which case we were suggesting 85% rather than 20%. So your 60% was not far off the mark, Cheryl. And I guess I would say then an approach to this might be to set up, to remove an aspirational figure and introduce a trend, although as with the number of unique operators, I think it's sort of a one-time thing, and even looking at it 3 years out, that figure may change, but we're not looking at that change. We're just looking at the increase.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just concerned about us fretting too much over this, because this is going to be, this very number is going to be a subject for probably public debate and also the
review team.
Assessment.
Well, on the three-year target, it's Michael again, rather than have a figure there for this, should we have a proposal to that team that they establish a reasonable figure that I don't know how you would apply, what sort of scrutiny you would apply to determine that it's realistic, and also the fact that if we wait for that team then can set up a figure that they can easily meet, rather than having from this point of view today a figure we think might be appropriate and putting that down, and then when they change that for the actual thing, someone may ask, why did you change that? And, you know, test it in that way. That would be the one reason I would think to keep a figure in there, so that if it's a change, then that change is explained, and we're signaling that.
Right. Well, and the review team is not going to choose a figure soon enough to be to not represent a change, right? I mean, it's
right. The change is already going to be have occurred, and they can consider. So it's sort of like, you know, the Olympics. Who do you want to win? Then we give them that score. I hate to suggest that's happening, but so this way we at least make a proposal looking forward. It may be totally wrong, but if they change it, that's fine. But it's simply something that they would then, you know, explain the change. And I think in the letter itself, I think it is clear that the targets that we're establishing are just suggested targets that should be reviewed at the time that the review team is put together.
That's right. I mean, I think, again, they're going to probably go back through these and pick and choose the metrics they like and choose targets for them to be the framework for their review. I mean, that's probably what's going to take place. There's no way to get a commitment from them in advance as to what the relevant target is going to be.
They don't even exist yet.
I mean, I guess, you know, part of this is just the optics, Michael, of whether we appear to be trying to front-load this as a successful program or as an unsuccessful program. And we need to find some neutral middle ground where we seem realistic in these objectives so that if it is true that the program's leading to choice and competition, that they're attainable. 85% seems really high. In terms of the community not treating that as a failure bias.
Well, I'm wondering, someone can supply the words, perhaps we replace a number there with something, some term like a meaningful or significant percentage of new GTLD registrations should be owned by new entrants. Someone can put a better gloss on it.
Hand up there, Jonathan.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'm only looking at that half the time. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Michael. It's Steve. I see where you're going in terms of softening the language, but if we took a number out and went with the words meaningful and significant, that is the same as saying nothing at all. And if that's where we needed to go, I'm happy to say no target offered. But I think we look crazy and contradictory if we were to state a very high target, and I'm going to explain why. So much of what your constituency and your clients and my constituency did was to raise the bar for applicants to have proven, experienced registry service operators, so that if you had a new applicant who just had a really good idea, we encouraged them through the scoring system to have a operator who has experience running a secure back end, having financial strength and scale. And in many ways, we bias this toward picking experienced operators. On top of that, the costs favored experienced operators whose economies of scale would allow them to add new zones to their database servers with a lower incremental cost than building a new registry service provider from the ground up. Nonetheless, we've had a number of brand new entrants who came in, people like Anthony Van Coovering, Minds and Machines, for instance, and they're using open source software and think they can do it cheaply, so that's great. But if this number, if we end up trying to go with your suggestion to put a very, very high number in, we would actually be penalizing for the fact that many people chose experienced operators for reasons that you and I insisted be in the guidebook. I'll stop there.
Steve, it's Michael. Just to respond to that, I think what we pressed for were experienced service providers so that new entrants could be registry operators relying on the expertise of those service providers. That's my understanding. And to the extent that that occurred, and I believe it has, then the operators, a larger percentage of those are new entrants or able to be new entrants. What you were referring to the as operators, I think, both ways, are actually the service providers.
I'm only talking about service providers. That's all this is, right?
No, this is new GTLD registrations held by new entrants.
This is Barry.
That's a good point.
Just to help complicate this even more, what exactly is a new entrant? You know, let's look at Donuts, Inc.
Yeah, it's hard to call them new.
Well, they are a new entity in inverted commas.
307 new entities. I think you have a point there, though. What is a new entity, a new entrant? I suppose my understanding was new at the operational level of a registry, and to the extent that that is true, it's as with the two times from 14 to however many applications there are for GTLDs, it's an easy figure to get 20%, maybe even 85%. From what you said, Steve, I agree. Meaningful and significant may mean very little, but I think it means more than nothing at all. And again, it's do we want to impose what we believe is our expertise or encourage the review team down the line to utilize what expertise they have? The danger being that an expertise down the line is, even if it is totally objective, begs the question of whether or not it was established in order to answer the question. So, Barry, this is Michael again. I guess there are two things then within this, unless we have them defined clearly someplace else. What is meant by new entrants, and it is defined within this as GTLDs run by registry operators that did not operate a legacy GTLD. So I think that is fine. But then the figure of 20%, which perhaps it simply seems as low as the two times, and both of those will be criticized going forward, perhaps.
Michael, as long as we don't go with something really, really high like 85%, if you want to go with significant or meaningful, I would use either of those words. I wouldn't object to that because I was never that comfortable doing targets to begin with. That's just speaking for myself.
Michael, again, we did use, I forget the language, I think we used significant as an adjective or an adverb in some of our earlier metrics. If we might use a term similar to that, unless there's an objection to that, I think that would address the issue that INTA had with this. particular figure.
Right.
Olivier?
Yes, sorry, Olivier.
Thank you, Olivier. Thank you, it's Olivier for the transcript. Sorry, it takes me a little while to unmute. One thing which has come out of discussions I've had last week at the European Summer School in Internet Governance, which was that it appears some new GTL, the applicants, have actually created shell companies for each one of the new GTLDs, which would effectively mean that each one would be a new registry operator. And we haven't quite defined how we see a registry operator that did not operate a legacy GTLD. Are we looking at the actual entity, the company itself, or are we looking at the people running that company? Are we looking at the holding company? I'm not sure whether we have a definition for this. And as a result, I have a feeling that the metrics for this one, if we don't define what we define as a registry operator that did not operate a legacy GTLD, I think that this metric would probably be quite worthless due to the number of applicants that have created single-purpose companies or single-purpose vehicles for each GTLD application. And I understand the reason why is to mitigate the risks, so as if one company gets sued for whatever reason that it is, the liability would be limited solely to that entity. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's going to be confusing to identify who the new entrants are, really. Anyone have a suggestion to break the impasse here? Should we table this and move on, perhaps?
Do we have a simple poll up and down, leave it at 20 versus the word significant? Is that really just what we're polling right now? Because we could get this done.
This is Michael. Let me type something out and send it in real quick.
Okay.
Michael, what did you say you were going to do? I'm sorry. I'm
going to type something out and send it in.
Okay. All right. Can we just take a placeholder and move on? I'm worried we're going to run out of time again. We're on the home stretch.
Okay. Moving on to row 67 from INTA. With respect to our existing metric, wholesale price, the new GTL domains offered to the general public do not evaluate GTLDs with registrant restrictions. In respect to the three-year target, we originally had said no target compare, and then it was changed, or the suggestion is to comparison to 2011 and to unrestricted legacy GTLDs, prices after expansion should decrease. The comment is essential that comparative information be attained before expansion as well as at 1 and 3 years after expansion. If possible, a survey of prices from before the announcement of the expansion, i.e. prior to June 2011, should also be attained and compared. While lack of target is understandable, we believe the sign of completion would be a steady decrease in price, and this is generally what should be targeted to determine success.
And I believe the word completion in that should have read competition.
Yes, I'm in.
Says yes.
We've gone around on this price thing quite a bit, I guess. I mean, the problem is that the nature of competition might not be price. It might be specific service offerings, security. I mean, I guess you're excluding registrant restrictions here, but the means that a particular registry is using to compete might be different than price. I mean, this might lead to higher price alternatives that still represent competition.
That's true.
This is Michael, real quick. I think that if that could be expressed in the response, that would be appropriate, because I think that is accurate, and that applying that, even the minor change here that was being suggested, suggests a particular way of looking at changes in prices indicating competition, which may not be accurate. So, I mean, if a response could be made in that way, I think that would be appropriate.
Barry, were you able to capture that?
No, I've given up. I'm just going to have to go back to the MP3.
Okay.
I'm trying to take some notes as I can, but it's getting too out of hand.
So I mean, basically, I think just in the response, we're going to say that competition can take, I guess this is probably for the MP3, right? The competition can take many forms, only one of which is price, and we should not start out with the expectation that the principal competition in the new GTLD space will be based on price, but could instead be based on security, abuse protection, and other differentiators that registries choose to offer.
Very good.
Yes, Michael, and I would only add to that, in addition to changes in price, since that is being looked at in this metric.
Sure. All right, so it's buried in the MP3 for you, Barry.
All right, thank you. All right, moving on to row 28. This is from Dr. Paul Toomey. It's also, I think, our first public comment that we received. While I think the definition of competition offered by the working group is adequate, the measures that are then offered fail to reflect fully the benefits of competition. The measures outlined at page 11 of the draft report focus on market share and price impacts, but the economic literature on the benefits of competition also stresses its role in driving innovation and the emergence of improved or new products and services. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission outlined this economic analysis explicitly. Free and open competition benefits individual consumers and the global community by ensuring lower prices, new and better products and services, and greater consumer choice than occurs under monopoly conditions. In an open market, producers compete to win customers by lowering prices, developing new services that best meet the needs of customers. A competitive market promotes innovation by rewarding producers that invent, develop, and introduce new and innovative products and production processes. By doing so, the wealth of the society as a whole is increased, connecting the globe versus competition. He strongly recommends that the working group develop some measures which focus on innovation and on new products or services. In my mind, one example of the innovation benefits of the previous rounds of introducing new GTLDs is the new use of DNS by .tel, although I recognize it is not initially welcomed by all members of the technical community. While the GTLD is controversial for other reasons, the representation and warranty provisions of registration under .xxx may also be another example limiting registration to ensure authoritative expression of identity, as in the case in .cat is another. These are benefits which may benefit various and smaller segments of the user base. This is a valid outcome of competition. Indeed, one of the positive outcomes of open competitive markets is the focus of producers on the needs of more specific segments of the broader consumer base. Monopoly markets tend to talk of users. Competitive markets tend to talk of market segments. The measurement of competition should also seek to capture that development.
This is Steve, if I could get in on that.
Yep.
One way we could go is a note to definitions. But in this case, I think we could add a row to the competition metrics at the bottom, saying that qualitative assessments of innovations serving all or segments of the registrant and user market, the consumer, which was defined as consumer. The source of it would probably be a rather expensive study, not a survey, but a study. And there would not be a target. I think this would serve the interests of our working group because it would be a more explicit recognition that non-price factors, such as innovation to serve a segment or all potential registrants, and it would be nice to put that at the very bottom, below the price metrics. I'll stop there.
I mean, that I think that this is Jonathan, for the record. I think that that makes sense. I mean, the obviously measuring innovation is going to be a difficult thing to do in a metrics-oriented way. And so it is going to have to be some kind of a study that looks at different segments and whether they were addressed through potential innovations, I guess. I have no idea what a target would look like for that either. So I think it's just going to be a recommendation that they take a look at it. I think we can largely agree with this comment and suggest that a study be made.
This is Michael. Just to say that I would agree with that. I mean, what is being looked at, I think, what he suggests looking at, I think, is very important. But how to do that, it is not something that's amenable to survey, even survey questions. Certainly not.
Yeah, not a survey, but a study, right?
Right.
Where we'd have to pay somebody to go out and look for these non-price. And I did propose a measure of competition in the chat.
Right. I think your other point is valid too, Steve, which is that it's a more overt attempt to at least try to capture the notion of non-price competition, which we keep talking about, and that we know will be a factor in trying to get people to use one CLD over another. So, I mean, we know those kinds of offers and deals and things are going to be out there, different cataloging structures for .shop and underlying search, you know, functionality, et cetera. I mean, there's going to be advertising. There's going to be a lot of potential innovation that we don't even know right now. So taking a look at that, I think, is probably worthwhile. So how do we immortalize that procedurally?
So, Jonathan, it's Steve. I did propose memorializing it by adding a new row to the competition table.
Right.
What would we do to determine if there's support from the working group on adding the row?
Does everybody want to put their hand up if they agree? And we'll have a little vote.
Okay.
A subset of the working group, but...
Yeah, I'll put it in a tick instead. See. Well, that looks clear enough for a subgroup.
I think so. was clear enough for a quorum, and as we put this back, the report back out, and others on the listserv
can respond. Yep.
Can respond if they like.
Works for me.
So, Barry, in the response, working group response to Paul Toomey, we can indicate we've added a competition metric for qualitative assessment of innovation, et cetera.
Okay, got it. Okay, moving on to 69. This is from Chuck Gomes back in the Costa Rica session. I believe we probably covered this, but just in case. The quantity of unique GTLD service providers before and after expansion, is CCTLD operator becoming a GTLD provider counted? If you include CCTLD operators, just be clear on it. It affects the reality of the goal. And Bruce Talkin had made a sub-comment to that as a macro view of organization and talking about the marketplace. The whole marketplace is one review. Second review is the GTLD marketplace.
I thought we already handled this.
I think so, too, yeah.
Help me out, Barry. I thought we conceded and agreed on this a long time ago.
Yeah. Yep.
That they're not new if they were already running a CCTLD. That would be my sentiment. I don't know how to express it to this, but if you already ran a CCTLD, you wouldn't be counted as new. Now, that's the new entrance, but Chuck is raising this with respect to our different metric, huh? Yeah, I don't get how his comment works. Because he would mess us all up, because if he put into the 2011 all of the unique CCTLD operators, there's probably 270 of them. So what would our metric be? It can't be 2X of 270. And that's crazy, because the 270 is a constant. We had 270 CCTLD operators before, and we'll have 270 after. There's no change. So I would try to fashion a reply that says that CCTLD operators are not counted in the before or the after. However, in measurements of new entrants on the supply side, a previous CCTLD operator would not be considered a new entrant if they also operated a new GTLD.
Carol?
No, my hand shoots me up. Sorry. I don't know why that's still up. I'm getting rid of it.
I mean, I feel like we addressed the question of counting CCTLDs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way to dispose of this comment. I mean, I think you're obviously right, Steve, that we can't, double the number that exists now, et cetera, as the targets for it. But we did discuss the role that CCTLD play in increasing the competition. Where.
This is Barry, and I do recall that we discussed this on prior comments, and I want to say that it was probably the written statement or written public comment from the registry stakeholder group that brought this up, as well as his verbal comment here in Costa Rica. But I'm in the weeds right now. I can't remember where we discussed it. But I believe we did address it. I'll take the action to find out where we reviewed it before. Shall we move on to 70?
Mm-hmm.
This is the last comment for the competition metrics section from the United States government, which is a rather lengthy comment. Competition measures. We have proposed that the definition of competition focus on the actual effect of market rivalry between TLDs, TLD registry operators, and registrars resulting from the introduction of new GTLDs. We do not believe that any of the proposed criteria included in the table containing measures of competition will be very useful in meeting such rivalry. The three-year quantity targets are not based on any assessment or prediction of the effect of the market rivalry and seem to relate more to the goal of increasing the nominal amount of consumer choice. However, quantity data alone, without information about price and quality, as well as information about how changes in each of these three factors have been motivated by rivalry among market participants, provide little information about the degree of rivalry and competition among market participants. Without further study and more information, it will be impossible to determine if success in meeting the quantities proposed in the table will produce benefits in excess of cost, which, as we discussed in the introduction, should be a preeminent issue in any assessment of the effect of the new GTLD. Evidence of market rivalry would tend to show that a competitive act by one or a group of competitors had an adverse effect on the demand for another competitor's product. For example, if a registry operator were to lower its product or introduce a new service, an examination of whether the action resulted in a lower demand for the domain sold by another registry operator should be conducted. It would also be relevant to learn if other registry operators lowered their prices or introduced new services in response to the actions of the first registry operator. To obtain evidence that would permit an evaluation of market rivalry, we would like to see a time series of price and quantity sold data for each TLD. Ideally, the data would cover sales and prices at the registry and registrar level, although we recognize that compiling such information at the registrar level would be more difficult. In addition, data should be collected showing the dates on which new products or services were introduced and sales data for such products and services. These data could be supplemented by survey data in which registries and registrars can be asked about the effect on their sales of the conduct of their competitors and the actions they took in a response to competitor conduct. A review of the data and survey information could reveal the extent to which competitive conduct serves to constrain the exercise of market power by other firms. Finally, the measures of unique operators should include closely related operators such as subsidiaries, affiliates, and others related through service contracts. And they had also included an Appendix B to this. Although we share concerns that the exchange of price or output information among competitors can facilitate collusion, we disagree with any suggestion that competitive effects of the expansion of TLDs can be adequately assessed without collecting and studying price data. A properly designed study that includes safeguards on the collection, processing, and publication of the data should allow ICANN to conduct such a study without increasing the likelihood of successful coordination among competitors. Among the safeguards that may be appropriate to prevent misuse of such data by competitors are: 1, having a third party manage and collect the data; 2, publish only data that is not competitively sensitive because it is sufficiently historical as to be of no use in facilitating collusion; and lastly, aggregating the results of any study so that pricing by individual competitors cannot be determined. Other safeguards, such as limiting access to the data collected to non-competitors, may also be appropriate to help prevent anti-competitive effects.
Steve, get in the queue.
Go ahead.
On the first item, we had already agreed during definitions to add the words and or actual in front of the words market rivalry, because our original definition had potential. And Barry, your markup had said potential for or actual, but I would propose potential and actual market rivalry. Because it isn't an or, it's an and. They're going to look at the potential and actual. So I'm talking about the definition of competition, because the first part of dealing with this comment is to recognize that potential alone, as in the quantity of suppliers who show up, is not adequate. And we've already discussed adding measures of weekly price and quantity, although I don't see that in the marked up letter, Barry. I'm a little confused by that. So the first response here is that the working group agreed to modify the definition of competition so that in just the potential for market rivalry, it says the potential and actual market rivalry. And then we have to say that with respect to metrics on actual market rivalry, the working group added measures for weekly data on the quantity. And what did we say with respect to price? We do have a wholesale and retail price already. So weekly. Barry, what did we say on pricing? Because I can't find it in the markup document. Anyone else on the call remember that we agreed to add some weekly statistics without targets that we could measure the quantity of registrations, new registrations in every zone, and we debated whether we would also ask for the pricing, because what the government, U.S. government's asking for is both quantity and prices, thinking that they'll observe some data. I had long discussions with them, and they quite agreed that non-price factors matter. They quite agreed that switching costs are such that people will not willy-nilly dump their .com to pick up a .bike. They get all that. They still like us to recommend that the data be captured. And that gives them 99% of this. We change the definition, and we ask for the data necessary to support the analysis later on. We don't have to do the study, but the analysis and the study could be done on the data that we're recommending be gathered.
So, I mean, how does that translate into a recommendation that we that we're gathering enough data that they could do the analysis, and we just demur on recommending it?
I wanted to add a row to the measure of competition, which gives them exactly what they asked for. Weekly data on the quantity of new registrations in every zone. New and total, so you could measure the number that were dropped.
So just collect the collect the data, and then
right. And in every row in our metrics table, of the four columns for every row, the first three are what's the measure, what's the source, what are the difficulties in obtaining it. And the three-year target happens to be a row that a column that's thrown onto the right, and we ignore it in some cases. And this would be one where I would ignore it.
Right.
It's incredibly responsive to them if our advice includes the significant collection of quantity data.
This is
but
Michael.
I'm at a loss. I think we did this work a month ago, and I did not capture it adequately. But we talked about whether
Steve,
pricing data could be obtained
this
from
is
the
Barry.
Data that's provided to ICANN.
What?
Because if they learn the total amount of revenue, you divide the revenue by the registrations, and maybe that gives you some average. Go ahead.
What version of the Word document are you looking at?
V1.7. Is there a later one than that?
No. So on page, page 17 towards the bottom, there's the quantity and total of second-level registrations on a weekly or interval basis. And then what we've already mentioned, that we capture wholesale pricing and retail pricing as the last two metrics, which gives us what the USG was looking for.
Great. The pricing data down below, though, doesn't correspond to the weekly captures. So the question for you, Barry, thank you for that. Thank you for finding it. Would be that on the quantity row, is it at the week snapshot, is it possible to capture their average prices on a weekly basis? Because the U.S. government is claiming they ought to be able to observe in a classic economist ivory tower way, that they ought to be able to observe price and quantity impact due to the competition showing up. So one way that, say, .com would keep its quantity of registrations up is they may cut their price from $7, which is the wholesale price. They may cut their wholesale price. But .com has to report their prices because they're controlled by ICANN in the contract. But all the other TLDs don't have to report their prices, and therein lies our problem. The U.S. government is claiming we could cover our antitrust problem by modifying the footnote we have in our document, because in our footnote, that's where the ICANN legal team acted as if it's impossible for them to gather price data.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think we should embrace the government's recommendation that price data could be gathered by a third party that would be responsible for aggregating and reporting the data, so that ICANN does not have access to proprietary information and that it would not be leaked in an inappropriate way. The ICANN legal was in Appendix B, and they really sent us down a rat hole by pretending that the very measurement of prices was akin to forcing ICANN into the role of regulating prices. And that's just BS. We never implied that. And I think we even put a little footnote to their footnote saying, while the legal concern was appreciated, the working group notes that none of the measures suggested would require ICANN to issue any recommendations for how registrars and registries price their domain names. So I like that, but it really doesn't get to blowing up the privacy element either. Because ICANN said that requiring submission of non-public pricing from its contracted parties would change ICANN's relationship with its contracted parties. Okay, we'll acknowledge that and say that the source of the pricing data would be an independent, or put the word third-party, statistical third-party vendor that could be relied upon to retain confidential pricing data. Sorry, Jonathan, I didn't hear that.
I mean, I think that makes sense. I'm sorry, I'm going back and through and reading this, but... Are there other comments?
Other than agree...
quickly becoming a war of attrition. I let's add the row to try and track the weekly data. I mean, the worst that can happen is that there'll be pushback on the impossibility or cost or something associated with retrieving that information. I think we I think we agree in with the spirit of the data collection if it can be collected by a third party and you know, ICANN can be protected.
And Barry, since we already had a row in our initial draft that said retail price of new domains, we simply noted that it was difficult to automate the collection, and there was a legal note that we referred to in Appendix B. But under the source column, let's change it. Currently in the source column, we wrote the word registries and registrars, but we would change it to say registry and registrar data gathered by a third party. And I think if we put that into gathered by a third party into both of those rows, we'll have addressed some of the legal concerns in Appendix B and be seen as being responsive to the USG's comment.
Okay, noted.
Yep.
This is Barry. We have 5 minutes remaining. Again, this was the last comment for consumer or competition metrics. It sounds like the takeaway, minus a couple of small changes, is that you know we've accommodated most of this.
Mm.
And like I said, I'll be going through the MP3 to capture the response and make sure we get it adequately documented. Should we call this a stopping point for review of the comments, which will take us just into the general comments,
How many? We got four of them, is there? How many is there?
Yes, four. I'm sorry, three.
Okay. Do we want to deal with it now and extend or not?
This is Steve. I have a hard stop at 5 for an interview, so I'll have to leave you go on that.
No, I'd rather have you in it, Steve. Let's deal with it next week.
I would too.
Yep, fair enough.
At least the end is in sight.
Yeah, right. Till next week, then.
All right. Thanks,
okay.
Everyone.
Bye.
All right, I'll get this back to Jeff and sit up to the team.